This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. Today we are meeting a new member of the Coloplast Professional team.
And if there's anything we can do to help or at least support people who can help, then we're halfway there to improving people's lives.
Hello, and as I've said, we are meeting a new member of the team today, so I am really excited to be joined by my new colleague in Coloplast Professional, Emma Russell. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Couldn't I say this is really exciting? The team gets bigger.
Yay!
So Emma's been with us a few months now, but this is obviously her first podcast joining me. And I know you've got loads of subjects that you're passionate about, Emma, on your side of things. But what I'd like you to do first of all is just almost introduce yourself to the listeners because they've not heard you before, a bit about your background and things like that.
So I'm Emma and I joined Coloplast 3 months ago. Previously, I was a urology nurse practitioner and I worked in an acute hospital in Kettering General for 17 years as a urology nurse practitioner. I've been a qualified nurse for 24 years. Before that, I trained at Thames Valley University in Ealing. But early on in my career, I knew I wanted to sort of work with urology and within that area, and knew that I wanted to be a urology nurse practitioner. I didn't do urology, so my first job in urology was really the eye-opener, and that's where I sort of found my love for the speciality. And through my years of being trained, I found a real sort of love for educating students, healthcare professionals, other people around me, anybody that came into sort of clinics. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed parting knowledge and seeing people grow and progress. So that's always been a passion of mine, hence why I think this job is perfect for me, because it's a link to my sort of roots of urology and teaching.
It's almost like the job was made for you, really, wasn't it? Moulding all your passions and putting them all together in one place.
And I recently did a master's in leadership, and that really sort of honed in on the development of others and wanting to really sort of progress nurses in sort of maybe a lower banding into specialism. So that succession planning, I think, that we haven't got in the NHS, and we know that specialist nurses have got a wealth of experience, years of practice under their belts, but sometimes they haven't got those people following them into that role. And we're very quick at progressing people on the wards into sort of sister posts. There's a disconnect when you get to that specialist subject, and that's what I love about Coloplast, in the fact that we are we're educating nurses within the specialities that we have within the company, because I think that they make such a difference in people's lives with intimate healthcare needs, as we one of our missions. But I feel that that's missing in the NHS. I don't think that training is there, that specialism. So my passion is succession planning, making sure that we've got the right nurses looking after our patients going forward in years to come.
Amazing. I know you said about that there, about succession planning, and it's something we speak a lot about within stoma care, that, and I'm getting from you, it's the same within almost all specialities, that once people get into speciality, they don't tend to go anywhere, do they? No. And they stay in that role almost until they retire
or they leave.
Yeah, people seem to stay within speciality for a long, long time. And like you say, with that brings a wealth of knowledge. But then when it comes to that succession planning, it does almost create that more of a void there. So I love that you really spoke about that's what we try and do. It's like educating for the future.
Yeah,
it definitely really is, trying to set that future planning up, because we know that the NHS resources are stretched and they don't have those facilities to do that planning, do that higher depth of education that's needed. So the fact that we can, as Coloplast, step in and help and support that, is, like you say, it's amazing. And from my personal aspect, having been a patient within the system as well, it makes me quite relieved as well, thinking that, you know, there is that support going on for people like me in the future, patient-wise as well. You know, it's not just supporting the staff within the NHS. Obviously, the bare bones of it is we're supporting the patients, and it is knowing that there's that support and education out there to keep nurses at that level. So is there any particular aspects of urology? I know it's something you said that's always interest you. What was it that interests you? Was there something at that point to you during your training, during your ward work, that grabbed you and made you go, this is my baby almost?
I think it was that drive that actually it's not well spoken about. It's that taboo subject. You know, there's a lot, you know, to do with cardiac, diabetes, respiratory. It was that unknown, unloved speciality. You see, sort of like the underdog type thing, I think, in a way as well, you know. I loved looking after the gents, you know, after an operation, they were able to pee properly. And, you know, just simple things like that, making their quality of life so much better. And I found that through all my way through my history of working, you know, finding out something wrong when I was doing urodynamics. So diagnosing a patient, whether it be, you know, overactive bladder needing Botox, or whether it was obstruction needing a TURP, and being part of their journey. I loved to be able to see a patient at the start and then see them at the end and see how they've progressed and how I've had an impact on improving their quality of life. But also I loved trying to get more awareness about, you know, the issues, and that it's okay to not have a great flow, or it's all right to need the wee, you know, need a wee every sort of half an hour, because that's urology, that's a continence issue. And I, you know, trying to get people to talk about it more, because it's what we call a loo taboo these days, isn't it? We don't like talking about it, you know. Don't talk about wee and poo. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy.
So you have like the sexy specialities like diabetes and respiratory, exactly. A bit more like glam almost.
Exactly.
But like I say, when it comes to wee and poo, and I do think, I know you touched on men there, men do seem to be the worst for not discussing it.
Yeah, they are. They're the ones, and it's usually the wives that go, you should see a doctor about that. You know, they're the ones pushing them along to the appointments. But actually, if they just had a couple of conversations in the pub, they would probably find out that more people are worried about it or suffering with it than they knew. It's like the patients I used to teach ISC to. They would go, oh, I went to the pub and I found out so-and-so did it as well, and now I'm not on my own. I'm like, well, there you go. You know, it's not that uncommon. People just don't talk about it. So it's raising that awareness.
I love, again, that it's something we talk about with Soma Care. It's getting that awareness, getting that conversation out there, because people don't talk about it. And if you can, by having conversations with patients, relatives, if that can spurn another conversation further down the line to make somebody else's life easier, it's like a knock-on effect almost, is it? Yeah, so women tend to chat a bit more openly about things, I think.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, I think any sort of incontinence or continence issue impacts the quality of life. So if there's any way that we can improve that, because we're here for living, aren't we? Absolutely. Life is for living. Why should something get in the way of that? And if, you know, there's anything we can do to help, or at least support people who can help, then we're halfway there to improving people's lives.
Coloplast Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk to find out more. Now, I know before you officially joined Coloplast, you did a little bit of work with us as well, didn't you, on this side of things? So a few people might recognise your voice. So you tell us a little bit about the work that you did with us before, I say, becoming officially Coloplast.
It goes back a few years, actually. So I was part of the Continence Advisory Board back in 2013, 2014. The territory manager put me forward, saying that I would be a good candidate for CAB. And that was instrumental to my development. It allowed me to network with other senior nurses, bladder and bowel specialists, specialist nurses within urology, and it showed me what Coloplast was all about. I was able to see what their vision was, their mission. So having that time on CAB was really, really, really integral to my development. But because on the back of that, I was involved in a charter when they started Best Care for the ISC patients. And then more recently, I worked with my now colleague, Michelle Hogan-Trix, on and Tracy Murphy on developing the ISC Competency Study Day slide deck and redesigning that, because we knew that there was a need for the theory, the theoretical side of teaching of ISC, because you know you can go out, you can start doing it in a clinical practice with a supervisor, but they don't give you all of the theoretical knowledge. So I worked on that quite a bit with them, and going forward, we did December, January, and February, and March. We did four regional days where I was a guest speaker. So yes, I was a guest speaker, part of the faculty for teaching intermittent self-catheterization on the theoretical days, and yeah, now that's my baby.
Straight, it all swings and roundabouts, because this job really was made for you, with the background as well, with you hushing it, and also the background alongside the teaching with Coloplast. It really, really was made for you. I know myself and Paul Russell Roberts, who is no relation to MMA, I'll just add as well, we're really excited to do some work alongside you and bridge that gap between continence care and ostomy care, because there's so many ways that there's links, and often urology and ostomy do become quite linked these days. And so the fact that we've now got somebody that we can bridge those gaps with, it's really exciting for us. And I know that we've got lots of plans, and we're making plans to do a lot of work together. Did you do much within ostomy when you came? I know obviously urology is very passionate. Do you come across ostomy much within the same field? Because I know I've come across, albeit limited amounts of urology when I worked within ostomy and stoma, I came across limited, but it was certainly there because of that, I say, straddling the fence.
No, unfortunately, I didn't. Quite soon after I started in Kettering, all the cystectomies in ileal conduits and diversions were taken out of our remit and would go to Northampton or Leicester. So we didn't really see that many sightings. But I did have one little lady who had spina bifida, who had a diversion, who we would obviously go and see and insert a catheter to sit in the tract, and then she would have a stoma bag over that. No, so I'm excited to work alongside you both.
Looking at more sort of your side of things, I know you said you're involved with CAB. What the point of CAB was, Ludra in the offings then? Was that something that you saw coming through the CAB process, or was it pre-Ludra?
So it was pre-Ludra. So when I joined CAB, they were just about to launch Eve. And on my group, we were looking at Flex. So it was also almost like the first start of Ludra, I suppose. But the company would hear about Ludra first before us as customers. But I did, one of our reps, TMs, came into us, territory managers, and said, oh, we've got a new product. It's going to be a game changer. And I was like, how can it be a game changer? You've got a really, really good one. And then I thought about it, and I was like, more holes. So I knew straight away, sort of more holes. So I was quite pleased with myself that I guessed that.
Well, I know the word game changer is used quite a lot, but I know that Ludra has been such a massive game changer for so many people within urology care. Some people listening may not have heard about Ludra, or may not be too clear with Ludra. I'm going to hand it over to you as the expert to explain a little bit about Ludra and how and why it works as well as it does.
Okay, so it's quite a big story, really, isn't it? So conventional catheters have two eyelets, but I don't think anyone had ever questioned why we have two eyelets. But of course, the wonderful R&D in Denmark, they questioned how we can tackle residual urines left from catheterizations and how we can reduce urethral trauma. Because from the UTI risk factor model development with the consultants of so the consortium of consultants, they highlighted a range of UTI risk factors. I can't remember off the top of my head. There's a six studies there were to start with, preclinical studies. They've looked into how we can reduce trauma, how can we empty better, and they've come up with Luja, which is Flex. So it looks like Flex, darker packaging. Instead of having two eyelets, it has 80 microholes. So it has, and that goes up depending on the size of the catheter. And those microholes will empty the bladder completely in one free flow. So you don't need to reposition like you did with the two eyelet catheter. So it drains in one free flow, reduces that flow stop, which can reduce that feeling of pinching and blocking and pain when catheterizing. But it also will empty the bladder to completion. So it's going to reduces bladder trauma because the eyelets don't suck in the bladder mucosa, and then it empties bladder completely. And we know that those two things can contribute to UTI development. So Luja is reducing that risk. One of my patients who went from Flex to Luja actually said, "I feels like I'm going for a normal wee because the flow was better. He felt it felt smoother to insert." We were, as nurses, were reassured that they were emptying completely and going with an empty bladder, because we know that if bladder's not empty, they start filling up again. That's just more infected urine in the bladder. So yeah, it was just that's reassurance that they're actually catheterizing more safely and reducing their risk.
It does make you realize that actually that word game changer, it is true, because so the two factors there that you're reducing with the trauma and with the full emptying of your bladder. Obviously, I don't catheterize, but I know how uncomfortable it is when you've got that UTI and you don't get that feeling of fully emptying, and it's horrible. And what a wonderful statement to say, it feels like a normal going to the loo. And it goes back to what we almost said at the very start, was trying to make things more normal, trying to get that normality going. And when you hear statements like that come out, it does give you that little warm, fuzzy glow inside. And
when we know that patients don't always take in everything that they hear at an appointment, one less thing for them to worry about, or one less thing for them to have to think about, you know, that repositioning. Because we know that, you know, people will change their habits. I know for a fact that I might not wash my hands before I take my lenses out before bed if I'm tired. I'm just going to grab them out, take my lenses out, put them in to soak. You know, I'm taking out a step of the hygiene part. I'm taking out a step to make things easier for myself. And actually, that can be detrimental to me and my getting eye infections. But again, patients who catheterize, if they think, "Oh yeah, I've put it in, it stopped draining, I'll just take it out," they haven't repositioned the catheter, they might have that residual urine, and that will start to build up and accumulate, and that's when they start to get UTIs. So one less thing for them to worry about, one less thing for us to teach. It's great.
Thank you so much for joining me, Emma. It's been actually a bit of a learn for me as well, because obviously I've heard about Luja and things like that, but actually, and I always hear about the more holes, but I never considered the aspect of the trauma aspect. Like you say, that suction aspect, the more holes you've got, the less of that trauma you're getting there. And I'd never considered it like that. So I said it's been a bit of a learning thing for me as well, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I will say, I normally ask people if they join me again, but I'm afraid, Emma, on education, you don't have a choice. You will be joining me again on more podcasts.
I can't wait. I'm really gutted that's it over. I've got to go and do some work now, haven't I?
To listen out there, we'll definitely look forward to having Emma join us for more. And if there are any subjects that you want to discuss regarding urology and things like that, please drop us a message, and we will get those subjects discussed for you. But in the meantime, we will see you next time. Thank you. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collarplus Professional.